Have a Savior that paid our debt in full. Ezekiel 37 is our text again today, and Lord willing, we're going to finish up this short series that we've been in, Can These Bones Live? And so I just want to invite you to look there in Ezekiel 37. We're going to begin reading at verse 1. Again this morning. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, as we come before your throne of grace, we just pray that you'll give us understanding of your word as we've read it today. Lord, I pray that you would help us to realize the hope of the resurrection, that if there's one among us or watching online who's never been born again, I pray that your Holy Spirit work in their heart. Help them to understand the danger that they're in today. Lord, help them to understand the great love that you have for them, that Christ died for them and rose again. Lord, I pray that today the unsaved, the unbelievers would put their faith in Christ alone and be saved today. And for those who are saved, Lord, I pray that you would help us to rejoice in you, Lord, the God of our salvation. Help us to rejoice in Christ our Savior. Help us to just rejoice in the life that we have, the hope that we have of the resurrection. And Lord, that we would live faithfully for you until our days are done on this earth. Lord, that we would live in a way that would bring you honor and glory. Help us to be true disciples, making disciples for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I wanted to take the time to read through this entire passage of Scripture this morning to make sure that everybody gets the context. And I just want to remind you of a couple things contextually so you'll remember. Ezekiel is prophesying during that time of the Babylonian captivity. Remember, the nation of Israel was divided during the kingdom of the reign of Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. They were split north and south. The northern kingdom, often referred to as Ephraim, because Ephraim was the tribe that kind of led them. The southern kingdom was referred to as Judah, because it was mostly led by that tribe of Judah. And the northern kingdom didn't have any godly kings that would lead them in the right way. And they were already carried away and scattered because of Assyria. And then later we have the carrying away by Babylon. I told you that there was three different invasions that happened. Babylon came in 605. That's when Daniel was taken. They came again just several years later in 597. That's when Ezekiel was taken. He was about 25 years old at that time. And then the third invasion happened in 586, and that's when the prophet Jeremiah was taken. And so this didn't happen all at once. There were multiple waves, multiple invasions, multiple sieges that happened around Jerusalem when Babylon came and carried away the southern kingdom of Judah. So it's important you get that, because Ezekiel's prophesying at a time when, in the beginning of his ministry, he's warning Judah of the judgment to come. And then after judgment comes and they're carried away, he's telling them that it's not over. There's still hope. But Israel, we see it right here in our text today. We're going to focus on verses 11 through 14. In verse 11, God says, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say," Israel says, "our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off for our parts." And so he's prophesying to them after they've been taken away captive, and Israel's crying out to God. They're saying they're without hope. We're like a bunch of piled up scatter of bones. We're very many, we're very dry, we're scattered apart, and we're not connected to each other anymore. And they had absolutely given up hope. Now, I learned something recently, that the way that Jesus taught, the way that the Jewish rabbis taught, was they repeated things a lot. In our culture today, I think there's a lot of motivation to say something new. I'm probably not going to say much new to you today, but I've learned that repetition is the key to learning. So if I say something that you've already heard, just go ahead and listen to it this time, because I'm sure you probably weren't listening last time. And all the people said, amen. Okay. All right, so Israel's taken away captive. They feel like they've been scattered abroad. And the way that the Jewish rabbis taught, the way that Jesus taught, was he repeated the same thing. As a matter of fact, I heard that in the Mishnah, which was basically an Old Testament commentary, one of the rabbis said that he who hears a lesson 101 times knows it better than he who heard it 100 times. Isn't that good? You guys are so excited and encouraged, like, oh, this is going to be repetitive. I just want you to understand, it's so vital that we get the context, because we want to know, what was it? God gave this vision to Ezekiel. God carried him away. He showed him something, and he had a message for Israel. That's who he's prophesying to, right? He said, prophesy to the bones. And we go, well, what in the world is he talking about, preaching to bones? Prophesies to the winds, and the Spirit of God comes. What in the world does that mean? He's calling on the breath of God to come, and he comes. And then he gives us an explanation in the text. He tells us, these bones are Israel. And I've got a message for Israel. I want you to tell them, Ezekiel, I want you to tell my people. Tell them that I will open their graves. Tell them that I will cause them to come up out of their graves. Tell them that I'm going to bring them into the land again, and I'm going to cause them to live in the land that I've promised. And so he's got a message for the people, and we want to get that. So I want you to notice something very critical, I believe, in verse 11. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves. He's talking to the people of God. And I want you to notice in verse 11, these bones are the whole house of Israel. What did we learn about Israel? We learned that Israel had been divided. But because of poor leadership, Rehoboam made poor decisions, and the nation was divided, the north from the south. The nation was divided. We also learned that Assyria had already carried away the northern kingdom by Assyria sometime before, and now they've been scattered abroad, and now we've got the southern kingdom that's been taken away. And I just get it, because the promise that God's making to these bones isn't just to Judah that's in Babylon. The promise that he's giving is to the whole house of Israel. And God gives a promise that he's going to reunite. He's going to bring back not just the two southern tribes, but he's going to bring back all the tribes. He's going to reunite the entire house of Israel. That's really critical. Now, there are some people who would look at it and they say, well, no, this is just simply talking about the return of God's people. And for you note takers, and by the way, if you didn't know, on the back of your bulletin, there's a place for taking notes. Let me give you some technical details here. We know that there were three invasions that carried away Judah into Babylon. There were also three times of return. The first return was during the reign of Cyrus, king of Persia, because in about 539 BC, Babylon the Great was conquered by the Medes and Persians. And the Medes and Persians came in. Cyrus, in his first year of his reign, God raised up the man Cyrus to send Judah back. Now, that's pretty awesome because, and you could write this down, Isaiah 44, verses 28, all the way into chapter 45 and verse 1. Isaiah 44, 28 through chapter 45 and verse 1, Isaiah prophesied of Cyrus by name about 170 years before he became king of the Medes and Persians. This is incredible. God named him by name before he was ever born, before the Medes and Persians even were a powerful group of people. God named him and set him up. And when he sets him up in his place, he stirs up his heart. And in 536 BC, during the time of Zerubbabel, God sends Cyrus, raises him up to send the people back and to build the temple. Then there's a huge gap of time, about 57 years. And this, by the way, if you want to read about this, the first return, you can read about it in Ezra chapters 1 through 6. Then there's a time period of about 57 years, around 60 years. And then Ezra chapter 7 through 10, you have the second return, which happened beginning at about 458 BC. This is the time of Ezra. And Ezra goes, and the people are revived, and the word of God is lifted up back in Jerusalem. And then the third return comes after another gap of time, about 12 years. And this is during the time of the prophet Malachi. I think that's how you pronounce it. Sometimes we pronounce it Malachi. But I think it's Malachi. Okay. And the third return happened around 444 to 432 BC. And this was when Nehemiah went back and the wall was rebuilt. And that's the time of the prophet Malachi. Now, all of this matters. Why? Because God allowed them to be carried away in waves. Three different times they were invaded. Three different times they were carried away. Three different times he sends, raises up kings. Remember, these are different time periods. Cyrus was the first one. Darius the Great was part of that first return. And then the last two returns were during the reign of Artaxerxes that you read about in your Old Testament. And so God raises up these heathen kings, these Gentile kings. God raises them up, and he accomplishes his purposes through those who don't even believe in him. And can I just remind you today, no matter what's going on in Washington, D.C., or in China, or anywhere else in the world today, God is still on his throne. Amen. And you may look at the things and say, well, there's no hope. It's just too far gone. And I'm telling you, there is hope. Because our hope is in Jesus Christ. And listen, if God wants to raise up a heathen king, if he wants to raise up an unbelieving president or prime minister anywhere on this planet, he can do that and he can use them to accomplish his purposes. Amen. He did it before, he can do it again. And I'm just telling you, friends, can these bones live? The answer is yes. Was there hope for Israel even though they were carried away? They were scattered. They were like dead men's bones. Was there hope for them? Yes, they could live and God would make it happen. And I just want to say, is there hope for revival in America today? Are God's churches too dead? Are they too far gone? Are they too dried out? No, they're not too dead. No, they're not too dried out. There's hope for the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Is there hope for America? Is America too far gone? Are we too messed up? Are we too? Have we just progressed so far? Have we progressed ourselves to death? Or is there hope in this nation today? I want to tell you, there's hope for America today. Can these bones live? Yes. Yes, they can. And listen, I know that I've already said a few of these things, but I just want to remind you again and appeal to you, older brothers and sisters. I want to appeal to you. Don't be defeated. Don't give up. Don't quit. You think maybe your time's already done. Let me help you out. If your time was done, you wouldn't be here. You say, well, I'm just tired and I'm old and I've already had my time and I already did my... No, listen, if God was done with you, then you would be gone. Can we all, is that accurate? Did I hurt somebody's feelings? I figure I'm not doing my job if nobody's got their feelings hurt yet. We all have business to do for Jesus. Amen. If you believe in him, I don't care how old you are. And hey, young people, I don't care how young you are. If you have trusted in Christ, you are his, and he has business for you to do. Amen. As grieved as I am with the older generation who's given up and just wants to hang on till Jesus comes, I'm also equally as grieved with young people who want to sit around and do nothing until they get a little older. I don't know what you're waiting for. Amen. You know Jesus. Amen. And listen, I was thinking about this. How vital is literacy when it comes to following Jesus? I'm so thankful that God's given us the ability to read. Amen. When I was in the first grade, I hated reading more than anything else in the world. You know why? Because it was hard for me. I had a hard time learning to read. I think that was mostly because I was very, very lazy. Just trying to be honest. I was lazy and it was hard. It was hard and it took work. But I am so thankful. Do you have any idea how blessed, if you know how to read, how blessed you are? Amen. One of the reasons God blessed our nation so greatly in the beginning is because churches established something called Sunday school. And in Sunday school, one of the primary things that churches did was teach young people to read. Do you know why? So that they could read the Word of God for themselves. Amen. And I'm just trying to say, if you are old enough to believe in Jesus, if you're saved, and if you are old enough to read, if you've learned to read, you ought to be in the Word of God every day. Amen. Revivals happen when people who believe in Jesus read the Word of Jesus. It's true. It happens. So we have this time of Israel that they are scattered, and they're without hope. He says that you say your bones are dry and our hope is lost. And I just see a lot of people in our country today, a lot of people in God's churches today, and their hope is lost. And I just want to plead with you to get your hope back. Because your hope didn't go anywhere. Amen. If you lost it, that's because you went somewhere. Your hope didn't go anywhere. He's still sitting on the throne. That's where your hope is. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's right there in his place where he's been since he ascended, after he died and rose again, after he laid down his life and took it up again and he ascended to the Father. He's at the right hand of the Father then. He's at the right hand of the Father now. And your hope isn't lost. Your hope is still in Jesus. And I think a lot of Christians have been disillusioned because they've put their hope in other things and other people and other programs and maybe political reform and maybe some leaders, or I don't know where you've put your hope, but if you lost your hope, I want to just help you find it today. Your hope is Jesus Christ. That's where your hope is. And he's made some promises here. So the whole house of Israel is represented by the bones, dried up, hopeless, scattered. And God says that I'm going to bring them back. God gives Ezekiel another message, this time not to the bones, this time not to the wind, but to the whole house of Israel. And he says, my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and will bring you into the land of Israel. And we talked about the return, that God would bring them back. And a lot of people, believe it or not, people's understanding of this passage, like every other verse in the Bible, people have different understandings. I don't know if you knew that. But I want to give you at least a few ideas today and encourage you to study it on your own. Some people think that all he's talking about here is the return, that God was going to send them back. You're going to Babylon, but it's not forever. Hope isn't lost. I'm going to bring you back into the land. And a lot of people believe that that is it. That's the only application. I would submit to you that that's not the only application. And it's because of that phrase, the whole house of Israel. Judah, the two southern tribes, were carried away into Babylon, and those two southern tribes are what came back. Remember, Israel, the 10 northern kingdoms, they went to Assyria, and we're not really sure what happened to them after that point.
And I'm just telling you that though this would be partially fulfilled in their return that we talk about during Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah in those days, but I believe that there are greater fulfillments and even more importantly, greater foreshadowing that are given in the text here. Amen. Number one, he says, I'm going to bring all people back. To my knowledge and the history of the world, we haven't seen all of Israel yet to this day come back to Israel. They haven't all come back to Jerusalem. And we know in 1948, Israel was reformed as a nation, and that was huge. Israel came back to the land, and Israel was recognized politically on a global scale as a nation. That was big. But I believe personally that there are promises that are in these texts that are still yet to be fulfilled. I want you to consider, just consider, that God gives a picture when he talks about the bones and the wind, but there's not really a picture in the prophecy when he says, I'm going to, there's more of a picture here in, there's more of a picture in verse 12 when he says, I'm going to open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Now, some would look at this and say, well, it's just talking about the fact that they're trapped, they're in captivity. It's like they're in a grave and God's going to bring them out and bring them back. And that may be true. But I want you to consider this. I want you to consider what Jesus, what God's word says in Matthew chapter 27, starting at verse 45. Would you look at it with me? Matthew 27, starting at verse 45. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion, and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. When Ezekiel gets this vision and he gets the prophecy to give to Israel, God says, I'm going to open their graves and they're going to come out. When you look into the Bible and you try to find anywhere else in Scripture when it talks about the graves being opened, this is where you're going to end up. This is where you're going to end up. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he said before he died, it was paid in full. He said, it is finished, paid in full. And then he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He cried with a loud voice. He gave up the ghost. And when Jesus laid down his life, when he died on the cross, the veil was rent in the temple. And if you don't know what that is, in the temple, in the holy place, there was different areas. And there was a Holy of Holies at the very innermost part of the temple. That's the place that only the high priest could go one time every year. A veil, like a huge, tall curtain, thick curtain, separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. Inside of the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant. It was the place where he would go and sprinkle the blood as a covering, a temporary atonement for the blood of the people. But when Jesus died, the veil was rent from top to bottom. It opened the way for everyone to come in to the throne room of God. Because the body of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was torn because he took the punishment for our sin, everyone now has access to God through Jesus. Everybody with me? Listen, he made one sacrifice for sin for all time. The high priest doesn't have to go in anymore. Every year, the high priest had to go back. Every year, he stood ministering. But Jesus, he went into the Holy of Holies one time, not in the temple made with hands, but in heaven. And he presented his blood, not to be a covering for sin temporarily, but to take away sin once and for all. And Jesus died on the cross, and the veil was torn from top to bottom. And then they took his body and they put it in the tomb. And for 3 days and three nights, he laid in that tomb. And then he rose again. And when he rose, the graves of many were opened, and they walked around Jerusalem testifying about Jesus. You're going to know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you out of your graves. Now listen, I understand that there's definitely some direct application to the carrying away of Babylon and the return. I understand that. But I'm telling you that I don't see how any student of the Word of God could read these verses and read Matthew 27 and say they have nothing to do with each other. Because I'm here to tell you today that the fulfillment of every promise in Scripture, the fulfillment of every promise to Abraham and to Isaac and to David, the every promise that Isaiah prophesied and Jeremiah prophesied and Ezekiel and every other prophet, every promise that was ever given can and will only be fulfilled by Jesus Christ. It's all about him. It's always going to be all about him. Isaiah chapter 11, if you'd find that, Isaiah chapter 11, verses 10 through 12. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of all the people. So shall the Gentile seek, and his rest shall be glorious. So I got to stop there. You know who the root of Jesse is? That's Jesus. He shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek. I'm going to venture to say that the majority of you, the vast majority of you are Gentiles just like me. And we are here today seeking the face of Jesus. Because he was lifted high on Calvary's cross, because he died and rose again, because of who he is, because of all the scripture that he fulfilled, because he is Christ, he is Messiah, he is the root of Jesse. We are seeking after him today, and his rest, I can testify, it's glorious. I have rest unto my soul in Jesus Christ. And though there may be trouble today, and don't worry about tomorrow, it'll have enough trouble tomorrow. We may have trouble, we may have trials, we may have difficulty, but you can have rest in your soul today when you know Jesus. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand against the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. You see, I believe there's going to be another regathering of the people. I believe that this prophecy hasn't been fulfilled, and I believe it only begins to be fulfilled through Jesus in his death and resurrection. And so Jesus, that root of Jesse, comes, and he brings all people together and all of Israel who's been outcast is dispersed from the four corners of the earth. They're scattered around the world. He's going to bring them together. And he's going to do that through his resurrection. You see, what I'm trying to tell you is that Israel will only truly be gathered together. Israel will only live when they put their faith in Jesus Christ. And the only way that you and I live is by faith in Jesus Christ. You remember in our text, he said, verse 13, you'll know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And then notice what it says in verse 14, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. See, just as I look at the resurrection of Jesus and those graves being opened, the only place in Scripture I can find that the graves are opened and the people come out, think about when God put his spirit in his people. That church at Jerusalem that was gathered on the day of Pentecost that had been waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit of God, I don't know if you are aware of this, but that was a Jewish church. Those were all Israelites in that place at that time. And they were there waiting, and the Spirit of God came down. They heard a sound like a rushing mighty wind. The Spirit of God, like cloven tongues of fire, set on each one of them. And they preached the word of God. They preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. When I have opened your graves and brought you up out of your graves. I want you to understand today that's only possible because the grave could not hold Jesus. The grave could not hold Jesus. And it's exactly what he prophesied of. It's exactly what Jesus said would happen. Look at John chapter 5, verse 19. John 5, 19. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. You see, this prophecy of the dry bones, it has direct application to Judah being taken into captivity. It has fulfillment in their return after that captivity. But it's more than that. It has fulfillment in Jesus Christ dying and raising again and those coming out of the grave at his resurrection. But it has more than that. It pictures a time when God will gather all of Israel together. It pictures a time when the resurrection will happen at the coming of Jesus. And there's going to be a resurrection to life, and there's going to be a resurrection of damnation. Of judgment. So what's the difference? God's going to raise up everyone who's ever lived. You believe that? Amen. Everybody who's ever lived, God's going to raise them up. You see, we talk about it a lot. We talk about the resurrection of those that are saved. We talk about the hope that we have in Jesus. We literally stand around the graveside and we talk about the hope of the resurrection, that God's going to raise them up again, that their spirit's alive, and there's going to be a reunion one day of their spirit and their body. We talk about the rapture. We talk about all those things. But you need to understand today that everyone who's ever lived is going to be brought up again. But some are going to be brought up to eternal life, and some are going to be brought up to eternal destruction. Where's the difference? It's found in verse 24. Will you look at it? Very, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Are you trusting in him alone? Because if you are, right now you have eternal life. And I want you to notice what he says next. You have eternal life, and you shall not come into condemnation. When your faith is in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life, and you will not ever come into condemnation, because he took your condemnation on himself when he died on the cross. But you are presently passed from death unto life, because you and I, without Jesus, were like dead men's bones. But when the word of God came and you trusted in Jesus, when you believed the gospel, the Spirit of God came and he made you alive and he stood you up on your feet and you became part of a living army of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now you stand on your feet today and you live as part of the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're to be a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're to do battle until he comes. We're not supposed to sit and soak and sour. We're not supposed to hide and cower, but we're supposed to go forward and charge the gates of hell, because they cannot stand against the church of the living God. Amen. And so it's time to be alive, and it's time to live as though we've been given life. Either today, you're still a pile of bones because you've never trusted Jesus, or today you are alive in his breath, his spirit is in you, and you have everything you need to live for the one who died for you and rose again. At this time, I want to ask our musicians to come. I want to ask you to stand with me. There's much more that could be said today. I would just encourage you to go back and read all of Ezekiel 37. He gives another picture of reuniting Israel and Judah. It's a great truth there. I would encourage you to go and read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in its entirety to be reminded of the hope that we have in the resurrection. Jesus Christ conquered death and the grave. We have victory today because of Jesus. I would encourage you today to remember that Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. And we are not of those who turn back to perdition, but we are those who believe to the saving of the soul, and we keep serving the one who died for us and rose again. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I plead with you to trust in him today. If you are saved and you know it, that you would ask God to give you the grace to live for him, to fight the good fight of faith until he calls you home. If he's convicting your heart, you come, respond in obedience of faith while we sing.